tell you a story before we get into our message. This story is about a preacher. Got on the pulpit, and he was preaching, and he noticed that one member in his congregation was going to sleep, and got right up here in the front. So he decided he was going to embarrass him. He said, "Well, all those wishing to go to heaven, please stand." The whole church stood. There's one man that's left sitting in his seat right here. So then he decided to try something different. He said, "Well, all those that want to go to hell, would you stand?" Just that minute, somebody threw down a book right in back of this man, and he jumped to his feet. He stood up. He took a look around the back of him, the side of him, looked up at the preacher, says, "Well, preacher, I don't know what it is we're voting on, but looks like only you and me interested." But seriously, this evening, the reason we're gathered here, the reason so many of us as Christians are here, that the choir came up here and sung, that we have this meeting every week, is because we don't want to see either one of you go to the place called hell. Go to the place of lost eternity and the place of judgment. We want to see you go to heaven. And I don't believe there's a single one of you in this room tonight who wants to go to hell. I believe every one of you want to go to heaven. And tonight, as our brother said, the Holy Spirit will be here. And I believe he'll be striving with each one of your hearts. Not because of the words that I'm going to say, but because these are words that come from him. And because we've prayed, we spent a lot of time praying for you and praying that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And tonight you're going to make a choice. You're going to walk out that door and either accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're going to reject him. Pray that you make the right decision tonight. We want to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 15. Just want to read one verse for you. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." All we want to do this evening is look at this one verse. I think most of you know who said it. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And this were the first words of his public ministry. You turn back pages and turn the other gospels, you find that these are the very first words of his public ministry. And the very first words he had to say are contained in this one short little verse. Yet it's very, very important that you hear it and that you pay heed to it. Let me say it again. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. I just want to break it down for you this evening. And just take a short time to look at four different sections in this verse. The first one is the time is fulfilled. To think about it, it's kind of strange to think about those words and what Jesus Christ meant. And what he actually meant when he was preaching to the ones who were there on the seashore. And the words that come across to us right now, so there's coming a time in your life when your time is going to be fulfilled, when your days are going to end. And he makes sure that we realize that. Something very, very important. Death is something we can't avoid, no matter how hard we try. We can't get away from it. Sure, some of us may spend thousands or billions of dollars to hold off death for just a little bit. And there are many people who are doing the best they can and spending as much money as they can to hold off death. But they don't know that it's coming sooner or later. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's no way to stop it. There's a saying that goes, there's only one thing you have to do in this life, and that's die. You don't have to make a decision to do anything else here in this life. You don't have to eat. You don't have to drink. You don't have to listen to anybody else. You don't have to go to work. I guarantee if you don't do these things, you will die. There's no way that you can avoid it. And Jesus Christ says here, there's coming a day when your time is going to be fulfilled. We have a tendency to forget about that. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like someone else to talk about death. In fact, lots of times if someone brings up the subject, we tend to turn away from them. Maybe turn our ears away so we won't have to listen to them. But death is a very real thing. It's something that's happening all the time. And more recently, right here, and in our small islands of the Bahamas, we're finding death happening more recently. And we're seeing sudden deaths happening more and more. Sure, you all probably seen it here. And we've had many recent accidents back home in Abaco, and many young people, as a matter of fact, taken into eternity instantly. Some of them didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they went to a lost eternity. They went to that place of eternal punishment. And death is a very real thing. And tonight, I want you to consider that death could be knocking at your doorstep right now. We don't know. When you step out that door and head home, death could be waiting for you on the car ride home. And instantly, you could be taken away into eternity. I've had the experience of knowing several people and getting the chance to speak to them just before they passed into eternity. One of them, I don't know how many of you know, man, Eldred Pinder is from here, lived in Guanaki. But that was a man who was hard to the Lord. He didn't want to hear anything about the gospel. He would go there, and many preachers have told me they go there to talk to him, and he talked to him, but when it comes to the gospel, he didn't want to talk. And up until his last days, when he got very sick, when he couldn't even talk properly, Brother Junior Roberts from Green Turtle was there in Guanaki, and he went to go speak to him. And he started to speak to him about the gospel. And all he could do was this, because he couldn't talk, was, and just wanted to push him aside and didn't want him to talk about it. A few days, he was gone into eternity. He may have had the opportunity to receive Christ. We don't know. But that was just the last word that he had to say. He didn't want to hear the gospel. His son, Lanford, myself and my grandfather, Haciel Aubrey, and Brother Hesketh Johnson, we're down to Guanaki the day he died. We went that morning and we ran into him. He was drunk, but he recognized us, especially my grandfather. And he started to cry because he realized what he was doing was wrong. My grandfather had some words with him and he asked, he said, when are you going to change your life and give it to the Lord? And they said, sometime, but not now. That night, he was gone into eternity. He didn't know it. Nobody else around him knew it. But that was his last opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And tonight could be your final opportunity. You may be saying, well, I've heard that over and over again from that same pulpit you standing behind. People have been saying this could be my last chance. That's true. Because there's been a lot of warning going out here on this island. And a lot of people who care about you and care about your soul. That's why there's been many warnings from this pulpit. Yet it could be tonight. Are you prepared? There was somebody in the Bible who thought he had, let's say all day, he thought he had forever to get ready. The Bible calls him a fool. We sometimes call him the rich fool. His story is told in Luke chapter 12. We find in verses 16 to 20, this man who had a great stock of fruits and vegetables And this year, it so happened that his fruits and vegetables came in great abundance because he had been working very hard, I imagine. And he looked at them and he said, "What shall I do with all these extras?" "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take down my old barns, I'll build new ones, and then I'll sit back and I'll say, 'Take it easy. So, eat, drink, and be merry. Be happy. You've got everything you worked for in life. You've worked hard. You may have worked overtime, weekends, Saturdays, and Sundays. You put everything you've got into this farm, and finally, it's going to make you rich, and you're not going to have to work anymore. Sit back and take it easy.'" And he had devoted so much time to other things. That night, God said, "You fool, your soul is required of you tonight." And he headed out into a lost eternity. And he headed out to eternal judgment. Is there something else catching your eye tonight, stopping you from receiving Jesus Christ as Savior? Is it the idea of someday maybe being able to take it easy, like this rich man? You don't have time for Jesus? Is it going to be what other people are going to think about you, your friends or your family members? Is it going to be some other excuse? Something else holding you back. Maybe you think you're going to have to give something else up. The book of James tells us, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while, then it's gone. You know what a vapor is? That's when you put the kettle on to boil. That steam will rise up just for not even a second, and then it's up into the air and you don't see it anymore. That's what your life is compared to eternity. Another story I like to tell of someone who asked a wise man, how long was eternity? He gave him this illustration. This is the best he could come up with. So there was a bird that flies around the world. Takes him a whole year to go around the whole world. Once a year, he comes along the tallest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. And he touches his beak to the very tip of it, sharpening his beak, and a few crumbs, a few flakes of rock fall off the top. The man said, when that bird has been around the world so many times that Mount Everest is down to nothing, then 1 second of eternity will be up. And Jesus Christ's message comes out. Your time is soon going to be fulfilled. It's soon coming to an end. What are you going to do about it? How much time do you have before your last chance is gone? Nobody knows that. None of us here in this chapel could tell you when's going to be your last opportunity to receive Christ. For the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Secondly, we see the second part says the kingdom of God is at hand. He's staying there. The kingdom that God's going to set up on this earth for eternity is soon coming and soon coming to being. And we know before that happens, Jesus Christ has to return. Take away all the Christians. And those who are left behind forever. They're going to have to suffer eternal torment. First with the tribulation here on this earth, and then being cast into the lake of fire. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. All of you knew, all you got to do is turn on your TV set and see that. And see that Jesus Christ is coming again. If you know anything about your Bible, you see the signs that Jesus Christ gave are happening all over the world today. Let me read a couple of them for you. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24. Let's read some of the signs of Jesus coming again. Chapter 24, and we'll start in verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3, says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. So that ye be not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Here are the signs of the times that Jesus Christ gives of what's going to happen before he returns again to this earth. How many of these you see and come true? Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. How many times in recent years have we seen people claiming to be the Messiah of some sort or another, claiming to be Christ? It was recently that man in California who had, I believe, over 30 people commit suicide because they thought he was the one who was going to take them up on some rocket and take them up to heaven. There have been cases recently of people claiming to be Christ. Wars and rumors of wars. Tell me what you hear when you turn on the news now. Somebody tell me, what's the number one thing on the news now? Iraq. And the terrible time they're having with Iraq. It's either a war or it's talk of war. And you go to many other countries in the world, go to Africa. Tribes are battling one another, day in and day out. Countries are battling one another. You go to Northern Ireland, and Ireland, bombs are being let off all the time. And there's wars, and rumors of wars, like never before. Nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. Famines. Any of you ever see famine on TV? How many times you turn on the TV and you see that poor little boy or girl who has nothing to eat? And how many different organizations are there that are trying to feed them? And even in America, it would take 1 ton of food, 1 ton, that's 2,200 pounds of food, to feed all of the homeless people in America for one day. Famine all over. Earthquakes, many different places. And false prophets, we also read here. That's the greatest thing what's in the earth today. False prophets. Many people coming out and either saying that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, or that they're Christ, or that they have some new revelation or some new insight. The ones I think that come right around here, such as the Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe Jesus is God. Also the Mormons. And you see on TV, you can call them, they'll give you Bible, King James Version, but they don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. False prophets all around us. These are the signs that Jesus gave. He also told a parable about 10 virgins, 5 who were ready, and 5. At the end of the parable, watch, for no man knows neither the day nor the hour the Son of Man is coming again. Are you prepared? The book of Revelation was written about AD 95. We're looking almost 2000 now. Almost 1900 years later. The time that was written, Jesus Christ said 3 times at the end of the chapter, Behold, I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Imagine if he said he was coming quickly then, how much faster he's coming now. And how much closer his return may be. Yes, the kingdom of God is at hand. And very close. And there's nothing left as far as prophecy in the Bible is concerned to be fulfilled before he comes again. The Bible talks about a unified Roman Empire or united Europe. As of the year 2000, all of Europe will be using the same money. The Bible talks about a mark being in the hand, on the forehead, the mark of the beast. And it would be used for all buying and selling. And if you didn't have mark, you couldn't buy or sell. Right now it's been employed in some European countries. That's what they're doing. They've got the mark inside there. You need the special light to see. The mark you can check from your hand. That automatically goes into your account. You need to go out to buy something, grocery store, wherever. You show them your hand, that automatically comes out of your account. And everything is set up and prepared for Jesus Christ's return. And I believe the only thing that's keeping Jesus Christ from coming back is the prayers of Christians, praying that he'd hold off just a little bit longer so that you could be saved. I believe that's the only thing that's holding him from coming back. And maybe you could be the last piece of his puzzle. Maybe you could complete the perfect body. And then you'll come back. And your debts will be over. Finished. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what did Jesus say to them in the light of this? Back to Mark 1 and 15. How much time you have? Your time could be fulfilled in any minute. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's very close. What should we do? He simply says to do. You want to know what to do? Just repent. That's a word we hear all the time, but sometimes we seldom take it in what it means. Repent means to realize that we've done wrong. And every one of us has done wrong. Myself, every man, woman, boy, or girl here in this building, on Spanish Wells, throughout the Bahamas, throughout the world, has done wrong. Every one of us has sinned. Repent means telling Jesus we're sorry that we sinned. And we realize that our sin is what condemns us. And it's our sin what stops us from going to heaven. And we realize that if we come to Him and confess to Him our sins and ask for His forgiveness, He will save us. Have you repented of your sins? I know I have. I know a good many of you have. Let's make you a better person. I'll stand up here as a better person, better than any of you. You're just a sinner, saved by us. That's what Jesus Christ wants to make every one of us, a sinner, saved by grace. And He'll forgive any sin, no matter how terrible it is. I think most of us know Isaiah 1 and 18. I was going to quote it, but I can't quite remember it, so I'll turn there quick. Isaiah 1 and 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be." No matter how terrible our life is, how stained up our life is, because our life is stained and our heart is stained like blood, and red like crimson. Any of you ladies know how hard red dye is to get out of clothes, so if someone misses and gets blood on the clothes, how hard that is to get out. That no matter how terrible our sins may be, He can wash them white as snow. To forgive any of our sins. And finally, what He says to do. Repent and believe the gospel. Not only be sorry for your sins and ask for forgiveness, but believe the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The good news that God Himself took on the form of a man like us with all our frailties, all the things that are wrong with us, all our failures. He took on a form just like us. As we're about to celebrate, He became a little baby born there in Bethlehem. He walked the streets of Jerusalem and walked throughout Israel doing great things for over 30 years. But that wasn't His mission. His mission wasn't to perform miracles. His mission wasn't to preach. His mission was to die. And that's the good news, is that you were supposed to die. I was supposed to die. We were supposed to face God's wrath. God was supposed to pour out judgment on each one of us. But he said, you don't have to. My son will take it for you. My son will take all the sins of the past, present, and future. And he'll face the judgment for them. He'll go to the cross. He'll have his arms stretched out and nailed. He'll have his back torn apart. He'll be spat upon. He'll have the crown of thorn placed on him. That purple robe placed on him. He'll have the people mock him and make fun of him. He'll be the one who becomes sin for you and for me. There's no greater love story than that. The love that Jesus Christ had. Love enough to die for us. Think in your heart for a minute. Do you know any reason why Jesus should die for you? Can you think of any good reason why he should take your place? I can't think of any. The Bible says, hardly for a righteous man will one die. Very rare, but there are few people who will die for a very good man. But we were terrible people. People who just disobeyed him and did what was wrong. Yet he still came down, and I'll still forgive you, no matter what you do. No matter how far you've sunk in sin, no matter how deep you are, I don't care what sins you've committed, how terrible they may be. It doesn't matter if everybody else has kicked you out and wants nothing to do with you. You come to me and repent. I'll save you, and I'll make you a new person. Why don't you do it tonight? Think in your heart. What one reason is there that's stopping you from being saved tonight? Considering the shortness of life and the length of eternity, what's stopping you from receiving him? Just remember our verse. The time could be fulfilled at any time. The kingdom of God is close, very close. Everything's set up. He could come tonight. So he says, in the light of that, repent and believe the gospel, and you will be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. As we bow for prayer this evening, don't hold back. Right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and striving with you. Don't leave that door till you know for sure that you're going to heaven. If you feel him striving with you, and tonight you want to make a commitment to him, you want to ask him into your heart, you realize that your time could be gone any minute. This could be your last chance. You don't want to wait any longer. You want your sins forgiven. You want to go to heaven. After the meeting's over, just come and take a seat right here in the front. Myself or some of the other members of this assembly, or maybe if it's someone you feel more comfortable with, we'll be happy to talk with you and happy to lead you. Know him as Savior. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we thank you so much. You have prepared a way of salvation. You have prepared a path whereby we can be saved. Heavenly Father, we just pray that if there's someone here tonight who hears the voice, your voice, striving with them, speaking to them, they will not put it off any longer. They would ask you into their heart as Lord and Savior of their life. They would want to know what it is to be on the path that leads to heaven. Just continue to strive with them. Give them the courage to come up here to the front and acknowledge their need to you. These things we ask in your son's name. Amen. I don't know if we can close with singing maybe a verse or two out of the redemption song. 292. Very familiar song to all of us. Just as I am without one plea, for that thy blood was shed for me. Not that bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. We'll just sing the first and the third verses. After meeting's over, you're free to walk out. I'll stay up front here. So if any of you would like to